Message this morning is called The Gift of Grace and Mercy. It's found in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, I thank you for your everlasting mercy. God, I just pray this morning that as we bring forth the word, that we begin the season of Advent where we're looking forward to Christmas, Lord, and all that that does, God. Lord, I ask that we be blessed by your word, Lord, that your word challenge us, that it draws us closer to you, God. Lord, I ask that you just move in this place, God. Lord, I ask that you touch those who are here, those who are listening online. God, I ask that you just touch them, that you be with them, that you strengthen them, God, that you draw them into a greater relationship with you, God. God, let me speak with clarity. Let me communicate your word with clarity, God. Any type of distraction, anything that would take our minds away, that would pull our attentions away, God. Lord, I ask that you take that away, God, right now. Lord, bless us, keep us, be with us now. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we've been beginning a new sermon series for our Christmas season of the gifts of Christmas. And so each week we'll highlight a different gift. This week, we highlight grace and mercy. I know those are two different gifts, but they're so closely intertwined that you can't help but to do them together. And so our first gift of the Christmas season is grace and mercy. Let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1, or chapter 2, sorry. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in that first verse. We're going to read down through the 10th verse. And you were made dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You know, we think of Christmas morning, and with little kids, sometimes it becomes like it's almost like a feeding frenzy of sharks, that if you've got a lot of little kids and there's a lot of little presents, that things are being ripped open. And I've seen in the past where you know, in big gatherings where gifts are being opened and they don't even know who the gift is from. They're just ripping it open. And there's times, you know, or you see this not even just at Christmas time, but at birthday time, that gifts are being ripped open and they're opened up. They don't know who they're from, but then the gift is tossed to the side because they're looking for the next gift. And there's that ripping, and there's just this excitement, and there's this kind of this madness that goes on. And in the days that follow, what happens is, sometimes they get all these gifts, They've gotten all these toys, these children, of all these things from people. Some of them probably didn't even ask for some of these gifts, but, you know, people, they feel like they have to give gifts. And what happens is that maybe two or three of the gifts have been played with. Two or three of the gifts have been accepted with just heartiness and excitement. The rest of the gifts are just sitting off to the side. They haven't even played with. They might not have been taken out of the package yet. Or if they're taken out of the package, they've sat there without a scratch. They haven't been touched. And so, and I think a lot of times with God's gifts, it's a bit like that. We're excited about God's gifts. We want to receive God's gift. We want to receive God's blessing. And after we receive the gift, it's set off to the side. We forgot about it. We don't do nothing with it. Brings us to our first point this morning, that grace and mercy is free to humanity. Grace and mercy is free to humanity. Okay. There's nothing that we did. Okay. It's not that we could purchase it. You can't go to the bank and purchase grace and mercy. You can't go to the store and purchase grace and mercy. You can't go to the Father in heaven and pray and say, hey, I will give this offering. I will pay this cost. I will pay this amount to receive grace and mercy, because that's not necessary. It says it is, verse 8 says it is a gift of God. Not a result of works. And it's talking about your works, okay? It's not a result of your works. It's not a result of your good deeds. It's not a result of your sanctification. It is not a result of all your good choices. It's not a result of all the good things that you've done in this life, of all the things that you've abstained from. I didn't drink here. I didn't do this. I didn't partake in this. I didn't think this. You didn't receive grace and mercy because you withheld or abstained or did certain amount of things. Okay. It's not of our good works. That's, it says, so that we may not boast. Okay. We don't need to brag on this. Why? Because it's not something that we did on our own. Okay. It's something that has been free. It is a gift that has been freely given to us. Okay. Freely given to us. In the Old Testament, every time someone sinned, there had to be a sacrifice to atone for it, okay? And some of these were small sacrifices. They may have been grain offerings. They may have come and they may have offered a dove. But it could have been as large as, an unblemished lamb or even bulls and stuff. And so you have this large gamut of to see how sin is cleansed in the Old Testament. And there was a cost that came with it. You know, either you had to take an animal from your flock or you had to purchase one that was in good order. And so there was a cost that was associated with it. But here's the thing. You may pay that cost and you're walking away. You're walking away from the temple. You're walking away from the tabernacle. And all of a sudden you sin again. Guess what? You're back in the original place that you just atoned for. So you just went up, you paid money, you atoned for your sin, and on the way home, you had a sinful episode, and you did something you weren't supposed to, you broke one of the commandments, and now you are in the same state as you were before. But with grace and mercy, it's not that you can purchase it. There's nothing that you can do. You can't go out in your backyard. You can't build a fire. You can't go out to someone's farm and buy a lamb that's perfect, unblemished, and burn that thing and make a sacrifice, and that you're going to receive the benefits of grace and mercy. It's just not going to happen. It's not how it works. See, in the Old Testament, those sacrifices, it cleansed one sin. But when Jesus died on a cross for you, he died to cleanse all of your sins, your past sins, your present sins, your future sins. And so all of that is cleansed for. It's atoned for. And that's what grace and mercy is for. Now, you're probably saying, okay, what's grace? What's mercy? What's the difference? So they're closely related, okay? Grace is Well, let's talk about mercy, because really mercy comes before grace. Mercy is withholding. It is withholding a punishment that's due to you. Okay? Each of us, we've sinned before God. We've done wrong. Okay? Doesn't matter. You may not have killed someone. You may not have raped someone. You may not have even worshiped other gods. But at some place in your life, and some thought, typically in every day of your life, that there's some thought, some unholy thought has crossed your mind. Some unholy thing has crossed your lips. Some unholy thing has been performed by your hand, you know, in God's sight. And we are sinful, okay? And, you know, some of these sins could be the simplest, the smallest of sins. But in any state, there's still a sin. And that sin causes us to be separate from God and not to be in right relationship. Relationship with God. And so because of sin, we deserve punishment. Okay. Because God is holy, and in God's holiness, he has a standard of holiness and righteousness. And so mercy is withholding that punishment that we deserve. And I know some of us think, well, I haven't done. I'm not like that person over there. Again, all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And so therefore, all of us require God's mercy. Okay. I may not know your sin. You know, your parents may not know your sin. Your best friends may not know your sin. But the God of heaven knows the deepest, innermost parts of your heart. And he knows that your sin even probably better than you do. So mercy is withholding that punishment that you deserve. Then grace is coming back and saying, hey, I'm going to give you something that you don't deserve. Okay, and that is all for, I'm going to let my son die on a cross, and I'm going to offer you this free gift of salvation, eternal life. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. Why? Because grace and mercy are two sides of the same coin, and that coin is love, okay? Said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Why? Because he loved us. And that love is driven by, you know, and that love is evident through his grace and his mercy, that he withheld punishment. And then not only is he withholding on one hand, but then he's offering the free gift of salvation in the other hand. And so grace and mercy go together. So grace and mercy are offered freely. Brings us to our second point, okay? Even though grace and mercy are offered freely, are given freely, okay, to humanity, grace and mercy comes with a cost, okay? Let me rephrase it. Grace and mercy is costly, okay? It may not cost you anything. You could pay nothing for it. There's nothing that you could offer to purchase these valuable items, okay? It's not like a Rolex. It's not like a car or a beautiful house or some item that can be purchased. You cannot save up enough money. You can't save up enough good works to earn these things, okay? However, because it's given freely, however, it came with a cost, okay? What does that cost? Jesus dying on the cross. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk with him. That workmanship can't happen unless he goes to the cross, okay? Part of that is Jesus, you know, we celebrate Christmas. We talk about Advent, the incarnation. Well, what is that? Well, the incarnation is Jesus coming to earth, being born as a baby, living as a human being, experiencing everything that me and you experience the heartache of life, experiencing the toughness of life, the standing outside in the Middle Eastern desert when it's hot and it's humid and it's bearing down and he's sweating. You know, he experienced the temptation of sin. He experienced of wanting to be angry and all these things that we experience. And where we lash out and we fall and we suffer. He experienced all of these things, but yet he was perfect and he went to the cross. So he became that perfect lamb. That lamb that was sacrificed at the Passover for, you know, that would protect the people, as now Jesus becomes our Passover lamb, and that he protects us, that he sheds his blood, just like it, they took that blood in the Old Testament, and they took the hyssop branch, and they rubbed it, and they put it on the lentils, all three sides, up on the top of the, on the two sides, and they would put it there. And the death angel, the destroyer, that the Lord would come with, destroyer, and the Lord would see that he would see the blood there, and he would tell the destroyer, pass on, these are my people. And the same way, when Jesus died on the cross and his shed blood, he takes that blood that cleanses us and renews us, and then that blood stands over us that we are God's people. And so, yeah, grace and mercy might be free to you to accept, but they are extremely costly. They're extremely, it was a gift that you cannot afford to pay. It's a gift that Charlie Munger, it's a gift that Warren Buffett can't afford to pay. There's no amount of money that can do it. There's no good work. Mother Teresa, you know, all these people who do good works, do these humanitarian things, none of that was able to purchase grace and mercy. It had to be a work of God. It had to be a work of Jesus dying on the cross. And it was required. It said that you're dead in verse 1. You're dead in your trespasses and your sins. Okay. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. We lived out the lust, indulging in the desires of our flesh and our mind. We are by nature children of wrath. Okay. This is what we were before Christ, before grace and mercy. And that's why Jesus had to go to the cross. And so grace and mercy are costly. They're expensive. Nothing that you could afford. They are priceless. Brings us to our third point this morning. Grace and mercy must be accepted. Just like on Christmas morning, just like on your birthday, you get a gift. It's a gift. It was given. You didn't have to pay for that gift. That gift didn't cost you anything, but it cost someone else something, okay? Now, you have to choose, am I going to accept this gift and use this gift, okay? Am I going to honor this gift that was given to me? Or am I going to be the person who accepts the gift and I put it off to the side? I forget about the gift. I don't utilize the gift. And then when they ask me later, oh, did you enjoy that gift? Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's, oh, thank you so much. But you haven't touched that gift. Actually, you haven't taken that gift out of the box. Now, I get it. There's times that people give you stuff and you're scratching your head and be like, I'm not sure why you gave that to me. You know, someone was telling me that someone gave them a very expensive bottle of bourbon. This person doesn't drink. So the person asked them a couple weeks later, they were like, hey, that bourbon's really good. He said, well, I got to be honest, I don't drink. And so he says, I feel really bad. And he says, I really appreciate your gift. It's been a very kind gesture, because I know it's an expensive bourbon. He said, but I would prefer to give it back to you so you don't waste your money, because I'm not going to drink it. But the person was offended. And so I understand that those type of gifts. This isn't one of those type of gifts. These are one of these gifts that it's like the golden ticket. Okay. It's like the thing that gets you into heaven, okay? And without that ticket, without that grace, without that mercy, without knowing Jesus, you can't get into heaven. And that's the only way that we experience it, is by experiencing and accepting God's gift of mercy. And we cannot put it off to the side. And so I want to read something by Dietrich Bonhoeffer from his book, The Cost of Discipleship. And the first chapter of his book is, it's called Costly Grace. And he's comparing costly grace and cheap grace. He says, costly grace is the treasure hidden in a field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is a pearl of great price, to buy which the merchant will sell all of his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ, at which the disciples leaves his nets and follows him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it cost a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it costs God the life of his Son. Ye were bought at a price, and what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. After all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for his life, but God delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Costly grace is the sanctuary of God. It has to be protected from the world and not thrown to the dogs. It is therefore the living word, the word of God, which he speaks as it pleases him. It comes as a word of forgiveness to the broken spirit and the contrite heart. Grace is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. It is grace because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Grace is costly, but it must be accepted. We have to accept it, okay? We have to put it into practice. We can't sit it on the shelf. We can't say, oh, there's my golden ticket to heaven. Here's my golden ticket to be in relationship. Here's my golden ticket to be in forgiveness. And then we set it aside, okay? Grace must be accepted. Now it becomes costly to us in that we must submit our life to Christ. We must follow him. We must follow the call of Jesus. We must look to Scripture and say, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to give up my life daily to him? That's what it means to accept it. And so that is our cost right there. It's not nothing that you paid on the front end. It's not nothing that you did on the front end. But once you accept it, that means that you say, I will pay the cost. I will follow Jesus. I will do what's required of me. If he tells me that I'm going overseas to go to do the missions fields, I'm going to go. I'm going to go into the worst city in America, and I'm going to do ministry there amongst the poor, the destitute, the addicted. I'm going to go. If he's calling me to forsake this sort of lifestyle, to be part of the seek him and to worship him and to do his work, then I'm going to do it. I will be faithful in the midst of and following him and doing what I'm, because the world will offer us a version of Christianity that is different than what Jesus says. Jesus says, follow me. Give me 100% of your life. Just like the offering, where it says, will a man rob God? And he said, how have you robbed me? I'm giving you tithes and offering. But the point of that, he says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you with a blessing that's overflowing. In the same way, Jesus says, hey, let's empty your cup that I may bless you, that it overflows. If you want to know life and life abundantly, it only is found in Jesus. The world would tell you that it's having a big house, that it's having a big bank account, it's having all these wonderful things. But there's plenty of people in history that didn't have big houses, they didn't have wonderful things, but they followed Jesus, they loved Jesus, they did what Jesus said, and they lived a good life, they lived a happy life, they lived a peaceful life, and that God's hand and blessing was on them. And so grace and mercy must be accepted, and it's a choice that you have to make each and every day. It's a choice that the Holy Spirit empowers you. When you decide I'm going to do it, he empowers you, that he's there with you, he strengthens you, he walks with you. So a big idea this morning is that grace and mercy are God's gift to humanity. God's grace and mercy are God's gift to you. So the question is, will you accept God's grace and mercy? Will you reject it? Will you take the gift? Praise God, I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. God has forgiven me. He's cleansed me from my sins. All right. Now I'm going to put my gift over here on the shelf. And I'm going to forget about it because he's forgiven me. Now, that's not how it works, okay? If you're forgiven, if you're renewed, if you've been filled with the Spirit, you can't put the gift on the shelf. You gotta work with that daily. It's got to change your life and renew your life. So will you accept God's gift of grace and mercy? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, I lift you up. God, I thank you for your gift of grace and mercy. Mercy that withheld the hand, that withheld the destroyer, that withheld the punishment that each and every one of us deserve. But God, I also thank you for grace that, Lord, that you gave us salvation, that you gave us newness of life, that you gave us forgiveness of sins when we didn't deserve it, God. Thank you. And God, let us be people who accept your grace and mercy. And God, we accept that it's costly, that it's precious, that, Lord, that we will serve you, that we will follow you, that your grace and mercy will spur us on to follow you, to be obedient, to take your yoke upon us, because you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light, God. Lord, that you would be the Lord of our lives, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, God. Lord, for those who are struggling, God, I pray that, Lord, that you help them get through the struggle, God. God, for those who are standing on the fence, I don't know if I want to give the autonomy of my life, God. Lord, life with you is better than life in any other way, God. Let them see that. Lord, I ask that you bless us this week, that you keep us, God. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.